take an iron hand, you start moving things, you start firing, you start doing this and that. Next thing you know, the whole organization takes a different direction and moves. Do we do that in the church? No. We will never elect a dictator, will we? That's not the way we work. That's good. We don't want a dictator. But that's the only way to change an organization is a strong hand from the top or a crisis. But as I've been working, I realized there's a third way. There is one way where God Himself can do it from the bottom up. What would happen if you speak in enough places and you plant enough little fires and you get people to kind of understand what's really going on and they decided, I can't change the whole organization, but what happens if I in my life change? One there, another up there, and then their group of their friends, and they start thinking differently and saying, it's mission, 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 whatever counts as a mission, you start putting everything you have on the mission, and then the Holy Spirit starts going, blowing on the fire. And pretty soon it kind of catches into a church, and then a nation, and then a division, and then the world, and it becomes a forest fire. Would that change the church? Absolutely. That's why I spend so much time away from home. You think I like to travel? You think I like being away from home this weekend? My dream is to be at home. Lord, leave me at home for 1 week. My kids, all of us, just at home. But you know what? We've made a choice. We're at war. And when you're at war, Daddy has to be on the front lines. Just yesterday, I got news that the son of one of my very good friends just died in Iraq. When you're at war, you take risks. And as long as we have a peacetime mentality, we are dead meat. We're under attack right now, a head-on frontal attack by the enemy. Our institutions are under attack. Our mission is under attack. Please, please, don't take this personally. But let me just pull out my business card. Venezuelan Union, Associate Director of Communication. There's a logo. You recognize the Seventh-day Adventist Church logo? Where in that logo is our mission? Logos represent who you are, you know. I love that logo. It's a beautiful logo. But where is the mission? Our three angels' message of preaching all the world. Who we are? Well, we have the flame, the Holy Spirit. There's three flames, so one could think of the three angels, maybe. There is a cross. Yes, we're Christian. There is a Bible. Yes, we're Bible-based. Oh, so we're a generic organization. Come on, we're at war. Let's put the logo of who we are. You know, I'm not criticizing the logo, but I mean the logo does represent in a corporation who you are. You know that. The logo is very important. It says this is who we are in our corporate culture. And if we're under attack, I don't think any Christians in North America today think we're not under attack. Everybody knows we're under attack. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we should not be the last ones to know that. You know how the devil attacks our church? He does it by keeping us asleep. For he knows that if we were to wake up, it would be his worst nightmare. If he could keep us just asleep a little bit longer, he has us, Sister White says. This sleepiness is from the devil, Sister White says it direct. It's from the enemy. What good is soldiers that are asleep in a time of war? We must look our work fairly in the face and advance as fast as possible in aggressive warfare. Okay, let's look at a different concept. First of all, we are asleep as a church. That's part of the diagnosis. And being asleep in a time of war is fatal. You know that, right? Are we committed to the mission? Not really. We're committed to avoiding risk and to become comfortable. I'm not saying the organization. We are. You and I do not like risk. We like to be comfortable. And you can say, well, no, but we like it. Hold on a minute. Just look at the evidence. Don't we like to protect our future? Don't we work to provide a comfortable future for our family? To set aside for our comfort? To get a good job? When we have to look at two jobs, don't we generally lean toward the one that gives the most benefits? I mean, isn't that what we normally think? I'm not thinking of exceptions now. There's some of you that have probably made very clear decisions to the contrary. But that's the way we normally think. At the very time when the ship is about to go under, we're worried about how pretty our stateroom is. We're on this world of Titanic, and it's going down. And your stateroom is going with it. Your house, your cars, everything you have is going with it. Nothing is remaining. And probably you'll go with it too. If your stateroom is important to you. Because the only way you can be saved and get off this ship alive is by being part of the crew. As part of the crew, you can start launching life rafts, and you can take them from the master himself, the captain, and you can pass them on to the poor passengers that are dying all around you. You have hope that way, but you got to think in a mentality of warfare. And when you're in a mentality of warfare, it doesn't matter what it costs. If you get killed, that's okay.